Thank you very much. You probably won't want to applaud afterwards, so it's better to have it before. It's really a great joy to be with you again. Always count it a privilege to come and share with you here at King's Church, and we do very much value the relationship we have with you. I don't know whether you're aware, but Stephen is my boss. You're not. Oh, you are. I've got a lot of troubles I'm going to share with you later. really appreciate the input he has into us as well as a team over at Bridge Street. Sometimes when preparing to share a word, as was for me this evening, as I was preparing and to share it, I just felt somehow, well, I'm sure they'll all know this at King's Church, but it's the word God's laid on my heart, so I know if it isn't for everyone, I know it's for somebody. And the hymn we've just sung, I think, confirms it somewhat for me. I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 John chapter 4, just a few verses to read there. 1 John 4. Just reading a few verses from verse 13. First John 4, verse 13. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Amen. One of the issues that frequently comes up in counselling situations, in praying with people, or just in conversations with fellow believers, is the issue of God's love. People who have no problem believing that there is a God, no problem that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, no problem in a sense believing that God will take care of them. People who are able at times to take a somewhat detached look at their lives and admit that yes, it's working out okay. Sometimes some of those very same people struggle to believe and accept that God loves them right now exactly as they are. Some people actually speak this out. So I really do wonder whether God loves me. Some people kind of mull it over in their minds. Could he love me? And in the mulling over are one, two, maybe a few, or many reasons why he shouldn't. And they can bring up a long list of because ofs, because of this, because of that in my life. God doesn't love me. Now, you may be a person here this evening for whom this is no problem whatsoever. You may have no doubt at all that at all times, in all circumstances, however your situation might be, whatever you may be feeling, that God loves you. But I do want to tell you this evening that experience has shown over and over again that those who very frequently or maybe just occasionally do struggle with this whole issue of God's love are not a minority. In fact, I'm quite amazed at times when I hear some Christians say about a particular circumstance, a particular situation in their lives, and I've actually heard them say, well, God must be punishing me. which for the majority of them is the other side of saying, if God actually loved me, then he wouldn't have let this happen in my life. And I want to say to each one of you this evening that we really do need to let God love us. We need to allow him at all times and in every situation to be what has declared himself to be, whatever our response, whatever our reaction might be to a situation in our lives. The scripture reading we've just shared together said it, God is love. And our responsibility is on every occasion to allow God to love us. I want to just give you some reasons why we should allow God to love us. Firstly, we should allow God to love us because he does. We should allow God to love us because he does. And this is no ordinary love. He has declared through Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That is a very big commitment. Everlasting goes on for a very, very long time. We also know from the word of God that Jesus loves us. When he was speaking to his disciples and through them to us, he said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. But it's even more than that. God loves you, God loves me, as much as he loves Jesus. He doesn't love Jesus any more than he loves you and he loves me. I don't know if we know how much God loves Jesus. I don't know if we know how God feels about Jesus. You remember at his baptism, the Bible says a voice came from heaven, said, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And again, on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my son whom I love. Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:17 that we are co-heirs with Christ. That means that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. We sometimes sing it, or maybe we used to, in one of the hymns in the old hymn book. It says, so dear, so very dear to God, more dear I cannot be. The love wherewith he loves his son, such is his love for me. And Jesus prayed that you and I would understand and know the degree and the extent that God loves us. John 17:23, he said, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. May they know that you have loved them even as you have loved me. So why should we let God love us? Because he does. He does love us. And secondly, because he wants us to enjoy his love for us. There's very much a sense that if we love somebody, but they don't understand it or they don't feel it, there's a sense of unfulfillment within us. We know that at a very human level. Some of you will remember that boy, that girl in your class at school when you were 7 years old, and you passionately loved them. And you were determined you were going to spend the rest of your life with that person. And they just waltzed off with your best friend. And that was the end of it for you. Maybe as a parent with our children, we love them very much. But sometimes they only recognize what they see as the negative. Even sometimes between husbands and wives, expressions of love are misunderstood. They are misinterpreted. There's a whole language of love you have to learn when you get married, and you have to go on learning it throughout your marriage. Sometimes signals are being sent and you're getting the wrong signal. Read once of a man who came home from work. He was going out that evening, and his wife had spent all day preparing this lovely meal for him. And he ate the meal, And then he said, "Where's my shirt? Why haven't you ironed my shirt?" That was his only concern. Her love was being shown that she'd taken all this time, and he didn't read the signal. So that's for us men. We need to learn the signals that are being sent. How much more does God want us to feel and know and enjoy his love? But you know, sometimes because of our petulance, because of our misfocus, because of our allowing our heads to rule our hearts, we don't know and feel and understand God's love. We misinterpret his love. Sometimes we don't look at God's dealings with us the way we expect our children to look at our dealings with them. We discipline our children because we love them, because we want the best for them. The Bible says that God disciplines us for our good, but sometimes we misinterpret that discipline. We call it punishment. We say God has rejected us, God has forsaken us, God has turned away from us. But the Bible actually calls it love. It's an expression of God's love. When we were overseas, they used to sing an old chorus that said, "All his ways are pleasantness, and all his paths are peace." And that's exactly what the Bible says about God's love expressed through discipline. It says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time." That's the qualifying clause, isn't it? No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So why should we let God love us? Because he does. Because he wants us to enjoy his love for us. And thirdly, because he chose us. The Bible speaks about what it calls God's purpose in election. God chose us even before we were born. Yet he knows what we are like. I can never understand this. How God could have known everything about me, even after I've made my commitment to him, and all the mess I'll make from time to time in my life. Yet he chose me and he set his love upon me. Remember, it says about the disciple Nathanael, "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked Jesus. And Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you." He knows everything about us. I think it was Gerald Coates who said on one occasion, God does not get disillusioned with us because he never had any illusions in the first place. It's encouraging, isn't it? He knew everything. He knew everything about us, so he never becomes disillusioned. I don't fully understand this evening why God chose me. I only know that it's nothing whatsoever to do with anything I have done. Paul said to Timothy, God saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. But this one thing is very clear, friends. Those God loves, he has already chosen. And when we allow God to express his love to us, we dignify his choice of us, however unworthy we may be at any particular time. God wants us to know how deeply he cares for us and wants to affirm that through our acceptance of his love in our lives. There's something very meaningful about just recognizing our uniqueness, recognizing and acknowledging we are special. Peter says we are God's chosen people. We are special people to God. And we really do need to grasp hold of the truth that God loves us and he wants us for himself. Our sense of unworthiness is never, never the issue. The issue is always God's love, and God does love us. Some of the problems that some Christians have is they're unable to separate what they do with who they are. And they think that who they are will affect how God loves them. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that we have been made righteous in Jesus Christ. God loves us because of that. We can't make God love us any more by working. We have a couple at the moment who are sort of semi-worshipping with us. They're Mormons, and they've been coming along on Sunday mornings, and they started the group for new Christians. But because of pressure, every week now two elders are in their home, and then the wife has visits every week, and they're really struggling. The man was there on his own this morning, and particularly the lady, she can't get over this, that you have to work, you have to earn it. Friends, we cannot earn God's love. We cannot earn it. It's not a matter of what we do. As far as God's love is concerned, it's who we are, and we have been made righteous through Jesus Christ. I want to share with you just two more reasons why we should let God love us. Because of his grace, we should let God love us. God's grace, his plans for us, take into account all our failures, all our unbelief, all the fears that we have. See, the finished work of the cross, it assures us that our sins have been dealt with by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we can know whatever fault, whatever failure, whatever impediment may haunt us of what's behind us, it has been dealt with on the cross. You know as well as I do. From time to time, the enemy will bring up all kinds of stuff. And if we're not careful, we'll go along with that. It has been dealt with. It has been dealt with on the cross. This is how the Bible puts it. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us because he saw that we were going to turn out all right. He didn't die for us because we had reached some certain standard that was pleasing to him. He died for us when we were totally, totally unworthy. That's when he showed his love for us. And what we need to understand is that God has his own way of dealing with each one of us. He's got his own time and he's got his own way. And he may deal with a fault in someone else in a different way and at a different time. We need to be very careful of judging one another in these things. What we do need to know is that God, in his way and his time, will deal with each and every one of us. He loves us too much to allow us to stay as we are. But sometimes we have this idea, he's got to do it in this way and this time. I sometimes recoil at how older Christians react towards new Christians and the expectations they have of new Christians. They seem to forget what it was for them at the beginning. You can't have the same standards. They're just growing. They're babies. They're developing. We've got to encourage them. God will deal with those things in their lives. And lastly, very briefly, we should let God love us because he is God. Because he is God. We should let God love us because each one of us desperately needs the kind, the quality of love that only God is able to give to us. It's a love that you cannot experience through anyone else. However passionate, however romantic someone might be in expressing their love for us, it can never match up to God's love. Doesn't matter how many candlelit dinners, how many bunches of flowers and boxes of chocolate are brought to you. I can guarantee tonight I have had more candlelit dinners than anyone here in this room. Mainly because there was no electricity most of the time. But they weren't always romantic, I have to say. But what I want us to understand, it doesn't matter how much we feel loved by somebody else. No one can love us in the way that God can love us. And we need that love in our lives. We need that love in our lives. God is love. There's a verse there in our reading. You can read it many, many times and maybe still not fully grasp it. Just the first part of verse 16. It just simply says this. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We know and rely on the love God has for us. I wonder how many of us have reached that place. Reached the place where we just rely on the love God has for us. Not relying on our love for him, because we all know that's something that changes, goes up and down, waxes and wanes, subject to change and degree. We sometimes express it in one of our hymns, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Jeremiah said it hundreds of years ago when he was speaking about man's heart. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things. See, the reality is, friends, we cannot rely very long on our love for God. But I wonder, have we actually reached the place where we rely on God's love for us? That's what God wants. He wants us to really believe that he loves us just as we are. Just as we are. Most people don't. At least not to the degree that we should. I believe that when we eventually reach heaven, we'll just find out how much God really did love us down here. And some of us will feel somewhat ashamed. And I just want us to be encouraged this evening, and for us to grasp this truth: God really does love us. If we can get hold of that in any situation and circumstance we may go through, it will really change us, friends, to know that God loves us. I've shared with you five reasons why we should let God love us. Let me just share with you very, very briefly five reasons why some people struggle to accept the truth of God's love. Firstly, to use a phrase by the Puritan fathers, we may have an overly scrupulous conscience. We worry about every little thing that may be wrong in our lives, and we worry about it to such an extent that we cannot accept God's love for us. Secondly, we may still be living under the old covenant, under the law, as did many of the Puritans. It's quite interesting, you know, when you read the Puritan preachers, it was because of this fact many of them were actually unsure whether they were saved at the time of their death. Thirdly, we may have a wrong or a misguided theology. Our understanding of God and his word may have wrongly affected our understanding about the love of God. Fourthly, and this is true particularly in this society today, we may have a psychological problem. This can happen to those who have not had a good relationship with their earthly father or guardian. People who never came up to their father, never came up to their guardian's expectations. They knew something better was always expected of them. However hard they tried, it was never good enough. And that has been carried over into their relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. That sense all the time of never managing to reach his standard, never managing to be just good enough for him. And then fifthly, when we're aware of how much we have failed God, and in all of us here this evening we have sinned, we have let him down, we just can't believe that God could still love us. When we fail him, when we don't respond as we should, when we don't say the right thing, when we have the thoughts that we have within us, even if we don't speak them out, we just can't believe that God still loves us. Friends, God wants to love us just as we are. It amazes me the number of Christians who will very strongly declare that salvation is by grace alone. And then they seek to work out that salvation through works. They think that it's through works. I remember being told it many years ago, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you won't go to heaven. That is a salvation of works. It's nothing that we're going to do that's going to get us into heaven. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that gets us into heaven, the cleansing of that blood. And we cannot earn more from God by what we do. We shouldn't respond to God's love by somehow trying to perform for him. Remember how Isaiah put it, and Jesus repeated it in his day. He said, these people come near to me with their mouth, honour me with their lips. But he says, their hearts are far from me. And you know, when we pretend to be nice, when we pretend to love God and be God-centered, we're actually just focusing on ourselves and being very self-centered. We're guilty of hypocrisy. We're guilty of some kind of manipulation, trying to bribe God to be on our side. It's like saying, see how good I am, Lord. See what I'm doing for you. Now will you love me? That is obnoxious to God, although he understands why we do it. But you see, the problem with that kind of attitude is it doesn't allow God to love us as we are. It doesn't allow God to love us as we are. God loves us. Yes, we've got to get ourselves sorted out. There may be folks here tonight. God loves you. I always remember, I saw one just the other day. Remind me, you know those badges people used to wear? It said, smile, God loves you. I really didn't like those, I'll be very honest with you. I thought, yes, God loves you, but you're going to hell if you don't get your life sorted out. But they didn't have that written on the badge because it wasn't a nice thing to say. God does love us, but he does expect us to get our lives sorted out. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I don't know if any of you are where I've been speaking about this evening. If you are, let me just give you a couple of verses to help you. And you can use these verses any time that the sense or the feeling of God not loving you comes over you. The first is Hebrews 4:16, and the second is the verse I've already referred to from our reading, 1 John 4:16. Hebrews says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And the second is, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We ask for mercy, but at the same time, we believe in his love. We believe that he really does love us. You know, unbelief can be very, very crippling. We need to reject any other option. And I want to say this very strongly this evening. We must reject any other option other than that God loves us at all times, just as we are. We need to rely on the love God has for us. Any other thought comes from the devil, who doesn't want us to believe that God loves us, who will accuse us, who will point to every sin we've ever committed in order to pull us down. But the truth is, God loves us. And he loves us as we are. All of us have bad moments, times when we feel unworthy. And it's at those times we need to remind ourselves of the cross. And we need to remind ourselves of the fact that Jesus Christ died for us. That is a truth we know to be real. And we know he died for us personally because he died for all of us. There's a doctrine called limited atonement. And it teaches that Jesus only died for the elect. Now, if you're discouraged this evening and you're looking for some hope that God loves you, then don't be looking at that doctrine, okay? It'll really discourage you. Hold on to those verses which say that Jesus died for everybody. Martin Luther went so far as to say, he said, I'm glad that John 3:16 did not say, for God so loved Martin Luther that he gave his only son, that if Martin Luther believes in him, he will not perish, but have everlasting life. And somebody said, why are you glad it doesn't say that? And his answer was, I would be afraid it referred to another Martin Luther. But what does it say? It says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. So when we become conscious of the sin in our lives, we can go back to the cross. We can find cleansing and forgiveness and ask God to be merciful to us. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Not going with fear, not going with the sense, I wonder if he'll respond to me because of what's happened, because of how I'm feeling and such like. Go with confidence so that we may find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. That was written to Christians. It is a fact, is it not, that we are still asking for mercy? I ask God for mercy every day in my life because I need that mercy in my life. We never outgrow asking for mercy. So when our heart condemns us, we need to hold on to the truth. John says, God is greater than our hearts. Let me just close by saying this to you. We need to affirm God's love, especially in the down times. If we are able to affirm God's love in those times, it shows that we really do believe it. I'm, as a pastor, not so much concerned how people express themselves in worship when everything's going well for them. Because that isn't a problem for anybody. Anybody can lift their hands and clap and smile when everything's going fine. I'm rather concerned how people express themselves when they're in the valley, when the situations are against them. I just want to say to you, dear friends, this evening, when we're in the valley, when the situations are difficult, if we can say at those times, God, I know you love me. I know you love me. Then we have really grasped what I've been trying to share with you this evening. We need to affirm God's love when we have sinned and when we've repented of our sin. Even though we might admit that what we've done is enough for God to sever his relationship with us. We need to tell him, Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but I know that you love me. I know that you love me. We need to allow God to love us through friends and through people who will accept us. You know that a true friend is somebody who knows all about you and still loves you. I have a very close friend and someone that I share my heart with, have done over many years. And on one occasion I wrote out a list of all what I believe were the weaknesses and failings in my own life. And I gave them to him to look over. And he took some time and then he handed it back. And he'd added about half a dozen others. But I could receive that because I know he loves me. I know he's concerned about the best for me. And we need to allow people to come alongside us and to love us and help to restore us, as Paul encouraged the Galatians. We need those kind of people. It's a very dangerous position to be in, to be isolated. It really is, friends. We are meant to have people we can open our hearts to. I don't mean telling everybody in the fellowship. We are meant to have people. We can say, this is me. This is me. And we can say, this is me, and we know they will still love us. I had an experience many years ago, and it was necessary for me to do. I'm not going into the long story about it. I had to do it with one of my elders when I was in a very difficult situation. I called him very early hour one morning and he came over and I said, this is where I'm at. That man didn't go away and think less of me. Where's this man of God supposed to be, whatever? In fact, he protected me and he watched over me and he loved me and helped pray me through that time. We need those people. We need those people in our lives. You know, one of the wonderful things about God is that very often he has a way of kind of drawing near to us when we feel most unlovable. And just all of a sudden we sense God's presence with us. And again, we have to just express to him, Lord, I don't understand it. At a time like this, you make known your love to me. You know, God loves to do that. He really does. When we feel at our most unworthy, feel at our most undeserving, God loves us, and he loves to make that known to us. A bit like the disciples, you know, on the first day of the week after the resurrection. They hid themselves because they were terrified about what was going to happen to them. They denied Jesus. They left him. They'd ran away from him when he most needed them. And now he's risen from the dead and he comes and stands amongst them. He says, "You wretched bunch. Where were you when I needed you? You weren't praying for me. You didn't stand with me." He didn't. He just stood in front of them. He said, "Peace be with you." He could even say to Peter, he said, "Peter, I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And immediately he went on to say to Peter and the other disciples, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." You see, friends, God just keeps on loving us. Loving us with an everlasting love. And so says John, we know and we rely on the love God has for us. Let's just pray together. I don't know tonight who this word was for, but I know it is for someone, maybe more than one. And we struggle to receive God's love because of the circumstances and situations we're in, because of how we feel. I'm not going to ask people to make an outward response. I just want to encourage you this evening is to open your heart afresh to God. Maybe tonight you're there right down in the valley, maybe feeling a sense of unworthiness, feeling, well, God, where are you in all of this that's going on? I want to just assure you tonight, friend, God loves you. God loves you. The Word of God says that his love is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And Father, we just pray this evening in Jesus' name for each one of us here, King's Church tonight, that Father, we will go from this place with a fresh sense and awareness of your love towards us. Pray, Father God, that in all that we will be facing tomorrow, in this week that lies ahead, and maybe the weeks and months that lie ahead, that Father, you will cause us to allow you to love us. Pray, Father God, you will cause us to be able to take our stand against the accuser. Whatever he may seek to bring before us, to be able to affirm, God loves me. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your love. Lord, we don't have to in any way struggle to understand that you love us. We just look at the cross tonight. We know the extent, the degree to which you have gone to show your love. But Lord, I ask for each one of us here this evening, particularly those, Lord, to whom you have spoken in a special way, that God, you will strengthen their hearts tonight, Father, against all that would come upon them, against all the accusation of the enemy and all the accusation of self, against situations which would arise and cause them to doubt. Pray, God, tonight they will know that you love them. We want to thank you for your love, Father. We want to thank you, Father, for what it is that we are able to approach the throne of grace with confidence, because we're accepted in the Beloved. I pray, Father God, if there are those here tonight who are struggling and striving to please you in the hope that you will love them, that you'll make them know tonight, Father, again, you love them just as they are. We just commit ourselves to you, Lord, and pray that your Holy Spirit will breathe upon this word that we've shared together and help us to go out tonight knowing that we are loved with an everlasting love. In Jesus' name, amen.